Blog Talk Radio.
To Cinema Royale. I am Travis Hobson, and man, just listening to that clip gets me excited. That was a bit in the film Hell or High Water, one of the two films we're going to be talking about in just a few minutes. We're also going to be discussing Peach Dragon. So yeah, this should be pretty interesting, and Rocky is having trouble getting in here again. It's always Rocky. Why is she always having issues? Okay, yeah, so she's having problems. Let's see. So let's see what happens now. This is really annoying. But anyway, while Rocky tries to get in here, hopefully we're also going to have Billy Mantel in here. I'm not sure if he's going to make it or not. He never did confirm with me. But either way, we're going to be talking about Hell or High Water and Peach Dragon, Disney's latest live-action retelling of one of their animated classics. I don't know if Peach Dragon qualifies as a classic. I know that I remember it as a child. It actually came out when I was born. But I watched a lot as a kid. I actually had it on album also, where you just listen to it over and over. And I did listen to it over and over again. Peach Dragon. It's a known film, but it's certainly not as big as some of the other movies Disney has remade, like The Jungle Book, or you know, Sleeping Beauty, or anything else that they've done recently. So, but we're going to talk about that because they went an interesting route with that one by hiring director David Lowery. David Lowery, if you don't know. He directed the film a couple years ago called Ain't Them Body Saints, sort of a neo-Western. And I know I talked about it on the show at the time when it came out. I had seen it at Sundance that year and was floored by it, by kind of the subtlety of his direction and just the style of the whole thing. I thought was beautiful. And he was not the most likely choice to direct a movie like Peach Dragon, which is geared at kids. So we're going to talk about how he did in his first big budget piece. We're going to talk about how he performed with that, and see if he did a good job or not. Because honestly, when it comes to these, you know, any director trying to get a job to studio movies, it doesn't always go well. Just ask your boy Josh Trank. It doesn't always go well. No. I would put Gareth Edwards in that movie too. At least he had Godzilla to his credit before things apparently went off the rails with Rogue One. So at least he has that. I'm trying to keep, you know, level-headed here because I'm pissed off because because the Olympics got ruined for me. Like, as soon as I got home a little while ago, the Olympics got ruined for me. So, the show came in. But, okay, well, cool. Sounds like Rocky and Julian made it in. And that is a good way to keep me in a good mood by having both of them beat.
Yeah. Made it in. I just don't know what keeps, like, going wrong on my end. Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't know why. Like, I'm logged in. I'm set up. Like, I don't understand. What's weird, too, is that, like, when I do the direct link that you send me, it's like, no, you suck. And then I do Skype, and it's like, you also suck. So I don't know.
It's weird.
I don't know the deal.
They fixed their problems with Skype that they were having before when I first brought the show back. I couldn't log in through Skype. I had to use their Direct Connect, which was sick.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is terrible.
Well, and so they're both not working, which is what I don't understand. But, you know, I have a phone, so.
And since I've used the word dick, I'm going to have to upgrade to PG now rather than just PG. Oh, well. That's okay.
Right.
Julian, is that you?
Yeah, man.
What's up, man? Thanks for coming.
Wait, I have a question. What got ruined for you?
Oh, the gymnastics.
Gymnastics happened earlier, so
it happened earlier.
Yeah.
Now they're doing a delay viewing, but if you was getting that live streaming, you know, it was really popping. You know, it was really good.
That's what I did over the weekend on Sunday when all I did all day was watch the Olympics. I was just live streaming it because the live stream is a million times better than a TV broadcast.
But
I was gone. I've been gone for the last few hours. So I came back like at 7 o'clock. I had learned nothing. I was like, I've made it this far. As soon as I turned on my computer and went to my inbox, there was a huge ad congratulating them for winning. I was like, seriously? just like that. I was like, God damn.
I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal because I kind of assumed what would happen, but I got, like, a New York Times news alert, and it's like, really, though? Like, really?
Yeah, it sounds like our friend Lauren Bradshaw, for her similar manner, she got a text message alert that they had won. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Got to get the NBC mobile app, you know what I'm saying? You got to see online all the time.
Got to turn that shit off during the Olympics, which you need to do. But anyway, let's talk about Hell or High Water, y'all. Care about Hell or High Water because that came out. That's coming out this week.
I personally think that Julian should talk about it because
should talk about Hell or High Water.
You mean,
yeah.
I should talk about why people went into society? Okay.
Yeah,
why
you should.
Why people society starts with two brothers played by Captain Kirk, a.k.a. Chris Pine, and Ben Foster, a.k.a. the evil magician in Warcraft and Angel.
That's
like
the one
role ago.
You could think of for him was that.
Yo, that's within the last 3 months, you know what I'm saying? Yo. And essentially, they're robbing banks because they need more bread. And the dude, Jeff Bridges, and the partner of my man from Breaking Bad is chasing down. And yeah, that's kind of it. They rob banks and they terrorize people.
We should tell people in the most Texas place in Texas.
Are we calling it Trump's America, Texas, or Obama's America, Texas? Which one?
Nah, that's just Texas. Let's keep it honest.
No,
it's,
I know.
Texas. Everyone has guns.
Right.
Yeah.
And,
to be more serious, it's a basically.
Everybody has
guns
and 10 guns.
Yeah, everybody has guns, but two brothers, the failure of, like, America to take care of the poor white people and how they try to find the means of securing money for their future generations through with any means possible by exploiting the same financial structures that exploited them to begin with. And the dude is trying to find them.
Right.
Because he's
right.
forever the dude.
Right.
I don't even care if you don't know who the dude is. You should fail. You should just fail at life.
Although he was more Rooster Cogburn.
He's always the dude.
He's more Rooster Cogburn.
Yeah, he was a little more. Yeah.
He was the dude to me and that. Yeah. I was like, oh, the dude is in a Western. Okay, the dude.
Was he the dude
just abides in every genre, apparently.
Was he the dude in Stick It too? Was he also the dude in that?
He's Gymnast the Dude.
Which movie should be on
dude,
somewhere.
Stick
should be on somewhere right now. In fact, I'm probably sure that it is.
Is he the dude retroactively? Like, is he the dude in Tron?
Yes, the dude in the computer.
Okay.
And his computer copy. Computer dude.
Got it.
Ryan, tell me what you liked about Hell or High Water. I have a feeling that we all liked Hell or High Water, but I want to get your opinion on why you liked it. And don't tell me because Chris Pine's cute. Tell me, give me your reason why you liked it.
First of all, cute isn't really good enough of a word to capture what Chris Pine is. Putting aside the fact that, like, I always feel like I come on your show and talk about, like, how attractive these people are in these movies because, you know, they're famous and rich. It really worked for me because I really felt like it smartly talked about, like, a subculture that we don't always talk about. Like, movies don't get made about, like, poor Americans. Like, they very rarely get made. Like, I feel like we're very surrounded by pop culture that demonstrates, like, upper middle class. Like, we talk about this all the time with shows like Modern Family or, like, sitcoms. Like, everybody has money to do whatever they want. So I liked that this was, like, an extreme example of something different but still felt very grounded in reality. And we talked about Sicario as well because it's the same writer between Sicario and Hell or High Water. But I felt like both films did a really good job of putting you in the place where they were. Like, I think Sicario did a great job of putting you on the border and understanding what that world is like. And as much as, like, you and I mocked the fact that, like, every scene for Hell or High Water has, like, a going out of business or, like, bankrupt or, you know, like, it's like this onslaught of signs that are like, this place is fucked up, West Texas is terrible. But at the same time, there was, like, a commitment to that idea, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, I really appreciated that.
And I felt like it also worked in terms of, like, the characters, too, because you have a character like Katie Mixon. Like, you knew she wasn't going to give up that tip. Like, so I liked that was sustained throughout.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Because, you know, when we walked in, I was like, please don't let this be Out of the Furnace. Because I actually disagree with you that I think we see a lot of these movies about, you know, about how terrible it is and how the economy and our government, our system has let people down. I feel like we see a lot of these movies.
Mm-hmm.
But normally they're a lot like this. You know, it's two people who are exactly their other situation trying to take matters into their own hands. And, of course, things get jacked up in the process. So I feel like we see a lot of those movies. But I agree with you that what made this so different was the area it was placed in. Not like Out of the Furnace, which I felt like could have been, like, anywhere in America.
Anywhere. I don't even remember where it was. Where was it? Pennsylvania?
I don't know where it was either. Someplace in the Rust Belt. But I don't know where exactly.
I thought it was in Appalachia.
Ooh, yeah. I think it's Appalachia.
You might be right. Guys, you have a better memory for that shitty movie.
I'm Googling it literally right now.
It had Batman
right.
In the
course I'm Googling of it right now.
I was right.
It's Pennsylvania. I was right. It's Pennsylvania. God, I'm so good. I'm the best. Casey Affleck, I represent you.
So, but you're right that what made this one different was that it was placed in this. I can't even call it an elevated version of Texas. This was just Texas. This was just one particular area of Texas that is more Texas than any other part of Texas.
Right. It's like uber concentrated Texas.
Yes, exactly. It kind of reminded me of that movie from a couple years ago by Richard Linklater called Bernie with Jack Black, where it was like,
yeah, okay.
Texas,
yeah.
And it was like, and obviously a different area of Texas, different kind of Texas, but you know, but these people were like, every stereotype is like a legit thing, and these people like exemplify it. And this movie was very much like that. But I also like this movie didn't back away from anything. It didn't sentimentalize anything. It was just really, really kind of, I didn't use it so gritty, use so much, but that really was the case here. It really was the case with this movie.
Yeah.
Like from the performances all the way to the kind of the tone of the whole thing.
I think also what I liked overall is I feel like I think Julian can speak to this because I feel like Ben Foster's character like really worked for Julian, but I feel like every character was treated with respect. Like there's a lot of like racist humor for, you know, for Jeff Bridges' character, but overall, like, and that's kind of a facade, but every character gets an opportunity for you to see like who they are and who they could have been. And I feel like Ben Foster like always plays those roles. Like he's always playing the role where you think like how else could have this guy's life turned out. And I feel like that was such a part of this movie of everybody thinking about like what could have been different, but there is no different. There's just Texas. And so it really worked for me. Like I really like, I have like a real soft spot for those kind of like Americana movies. And I really liked it because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, but it also had that feel of a one last heist type movie, which I'm a big fan of. I love those kinds of movies. This movie was very much like that, so it's kind of combining those two things. And I agree with you. I like the fact that we got to see the other side of all these people, in particular Chris Pine. Look, I am not a fan of Chris Pine. I've made that clear in the past. I think he bores me to tears.
Right.
But this was one time. Right. Well, I'm sorry. He does. He's always bored me.
Kev.
Especially
Captain Kirk.
but in this movie, I really liked him, and I didn't think I was going to because at first he didn't fit. Like when I was watching it, when I was looking at it, I was like, okay, it's fine in this Texas
setting.
You personally
feel like it's because he's too. Do you feel like it's because he's too beautiful? You're like he's too beautiful. Like I can't handle.
Well, honestly,
is that what it was?
In this case, it actually. I mean, he just didn't seem like he fit in. Just putting a mustache on him was not going to make him, you know, feel natural in this world. That's not who he is.
It is who he is now for my life, for me personally.
Yeah,
that's
now,
who he is.
Yeah. But he actually really worked because his character was you know, his character was motivated by larger things. Wasn't concerned so much about himself. He was concerned about the next generation, his family, his ex-wife, and his kids. Whereas Ben Foster was just like, let me get that cash.
Like, I don't think he cares about the cash at all. I think he knew. Here's the thing that I like. I feel like everybody in the movie was facing, like, the end of some part of their life. And I feel like Ben Foster understood, like, this was the end. Like, so even before it became about the cash, like, just when Chris Pine asked him, it was like, okay, this is the next and possibly final part of my life. Like, I agree with Julian, like, I feel like you could think it's about the cash because he does that, like, one hasty, like, bank robbery on his own. But I feel like by the end, when you get that, like, Lord of the Plains scene, it's so much more than the money. Like, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I don't know. I didn't expect anything from this movie. Right, for sure.
Could have been just as much about him going out in a blaze of glory. I mean, I think unlike Chris Pine's character, I don't know if there ever really was this bright and sunny alternate future for him. Like, it didn't seem like it was ever going to be.
I don't think there was.
Yeah, and I think you're right in that he probably knew that all along and was just doing what he could to help out, you know, his brother, you know, and he could, and it was one final score. So.
Right.
But Julian, what were you saying?
No, that's what I was just saying. For him, I guess he didn't care. Like, he helped his brother, and he was going to go out. He knew he was going to die. He was never going back to jail. It's everything that I see from hood movies, except it has poor white people, and it's in Texas. That's why to me it's like white middle society.
Yeah.
Like it's funny, but it's the same exact mentality. Like, we ain't got nothing
to
play for.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Julian, has anybody at work asked you about this movie? Like, where does this rank in your people at work coming to ask you meter?
No one knows about this movie. I saw one commercial for this movie in the last 2 weeks. And I didn't even know it wasn't even out yet. I was like, what do you mean it has selective release and then, like larger release in, like, September or something? I was like, what? Nobody even asked me about this movie.
Yeah, and that's
I'm just going to call it White Medicine Society. That's all I'm going to do.
That bothers me, but it doesn't surprise me. This is one of those movies that's going to need a lot of critic support for people to find it. And I feel like it's getting it because I've discussed it with critics a lot over the last couple of weeks and told a lot of people about it. I just hope the word spreads to people to go see it because I think it's one of the best movies I've seen so far this year. I think it's fantastic. I know I was talking to Jim Judy yesterday, and he says it's his number one. He thinks it's his favorite movie of the year. So, and I'm really happy for
too early for that.
He did a movie called Start Up with Jack O'Connell. That was like his breakout role. And this is the director's follow-up from that. And I think the styles are very similar. So I want to see him continue to go further. As long as he keeps making movies like this, if he jumps to some, like Godzilla 2, then I'll be like, But as long as he keeps making movies like this.
Next up, he's going to be doing Captain Marvel. Bam!
You never know, man. Yeah. I mean, he's not that much different in terms of style and approach than David Lowery, who we'll be talking about for Pete's Dragon in a few minutes. I mean, these indie directors that keep coming up like this and then make the jump to bigger movies. Sometimes it works. Gareth Edwards, I guess, is one example, although Rogue One, we'll see. Josh,
stop it.
Example of shit that doesn't go right. So. So, who knows?
Yeah,
but,
for real.
That movie is
going to
do
true.
Fine. It's Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to make $2 billion regardless.
Absolutely. There's no doubt that it'll make money. But will it be like a poorly reviewed hit movie? I can't remember. Well, I was going to say, I can't remember the last Star Wars movie that had poorly reviews. I was like, oh, we had the entire trilogy. My bad.
Right. Did you forget about those, like, entirely?
I totally forgot about them. Even though I just watched them not that long ago.
It's a bad sign.
Yeah,
it's going to have Darth Vader, man. Everybody's going to be happy. They're going to hear, oh, my God.
It's going to have Jimmy
Smith. And that's my problem. That's my problem, is I feel like this movie is getting, like, it's getting, like, crowdsource made. Like, stop listening to us. I don't care what we have to say. Like, stop listening to the fans and just make the movie you were going to make. I have so many problems with that mentality.
That's not how any of this works, Rocky.
This is a Warner Brothers
but I hate it.
Problem. They both have that issue. And it's not the directors who have that issue. It's the studios who have that issue.
No, it's not the directors at all. It's the studios.
Like David Ayer. Yeah. David Ayer, if he saw the movie he wanted to make, based on the scenes we saw that were cut out, it would have been a vastly different movie. But Warner Brothers said, can you please make Deadpool for us? It's like, come on.
So terrible.
Leave these people alone. But then again, when you're talking hundreds of millions of dollars, it's hard to argue. It's hard to argue with them having some influence. So,
But at the same time, you hire a director to do a job, though. Like, you hire a director to do a job. So it's like, at what point do you let them do that job? I don't know. I just feel like there has to be some kind of trust, and there's so much oversight. I don't want to have this conversation. It's so exhausting.
In a perfect world, you're absolutely right. I mean, the director gets to do what he wants to do, and then that's it. But like I say, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, and people's jobs on the line. It never goes like that. It's just never does. Julian, I agree with you. You could argue that obviously they shouldn't interfere, but it's not going to happen. But at least with a movie
my thing is I don't. My thing is just that the people making the changes, are they good at their job? Like, that's my main thing.
I think
prove to me that they know more about making movies and these things than I do, and usually they don't. So,
I think in a lot of people, you'll find are execs who are not who think that they are. So they input, put input what they would want, what they think will sell is what they put in there, is what they always want to interject, what they think will sell tickets, which is ultimately that's what they are supposed to do.
Well, what'll sell tickets and what'll sell like merchandise, right? I mean, merchandise is like a huge portion of this. So when,
But at least with a movie like Hell or High Water, you don't have to worry about that kind of thing with Hell or High Water, though. So that's one good thing about that.
Right.
All right, before we jump into talking about Peace, I'm really curious to hear Julian's take on that one. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about Disney's latest remake. We'll be right back.
Yep.
Rocky, are you crying over there? You better not be.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I got all my crying out. So many tears.
Yeah,
so many.
To be fair, you weren't the only one. There were a lot of tears in that theater last night. I saw a lot of people rubbing their eyes and blowing their noses on the way out. So.
Oh my God, so many.
Well, yeah, there were a lot. So this was Peach Dragon, the remake of the 1977 film by Disney. That one was a live-action animated, hand-drawn animation. Uses CGI, of course. And it's also not a musical like the first one was. This one is, in terms of tone, this one is very different than the original. And that's part of the story as the director. It was not the option I would have originally gone with, based on his breakout film Ain't Them Body Saints, which is a western, really dark one. I remember from a few years ago, I saw it at Sundance, and I loved it at the time, but I did not think, man, this guy would do really good directing a Peach Dragon movie. That was not first thought.
Right.
But what Disney saw something. Disney saw something. Lowry saw something in himself, I guess. And based off what I saw last night, I feel like this is going to be yet another of Disney's massive hit remakes, just like The Jungle Book was earlier this year. I have a feeling Peace Dragon is going to be huge. But the only person I don't know whose opinion on this is Julian. I don't know what you think about it, because I didn't see any of your messages on Facebook about it yet, I don't think. I'm sure you posted some. But what is your take on Peace Dragon? You didn't like it, but I'm not sure. But what did you think?
It was too sad. It's not for me. It's for these new age people. I was happy with the old one. I wanted the goofy songs. I wanted like the cartoon talking dragon. Like, I ain't had none of that stuff. I was all excited to see like a Peace Dragon with CG Dragon, and all I got was like a big flying dog and like a wild boy. I was like, this ain't for me. This is for new kids and other people. The same for people who like actually like the old Peace Dragon or the incredible Shrinking Mr. Limpet or like all those old really randomly goofy Disney movies like The Goose Who Laid the Golden Egg and The Love Bug. And man, I want those Disney movies. If you want to remake them, they just changed it. It's just like, I don't care. Like, it was well made. It wasn't a bad movie. I like Robert Redford, but nah, I like old Peace. I could just go watch Old Peace Dragon and be mad happy.
I don't know.
That was a happy movie to me. Like, I don't want to see that movie again.
See, I think it ultimately was happy. I mean, it's just that, you know, yeah, it has sort of a somber tone throughout. You know, Ellie deals with a lot of issues that I think the original movie just kind of glosses over for the most part. And this one deals with them head on. I don't know. I enjoyed that aspect of it. And I thought Elliot was a really well-made creature. He was probably the thing I was most worried about. I liked the way he looked. I liked the way the texture looked. And I even liked the fact that he was like a dog, even though I complained about the fact that dragons are always made to act like dogs. Ultimately, it worked for me. But Rocky, what did you think?
Julian tweeted something last night about it being too sad, and I tweeted in response that I want like all my children's movies to be sad. that's really depressing. I don't want them all to be sad, but I do feel like we have such like an onslaught of like bright, hyperactive, like goofy children's movies that I'm totally fine with like a slower pace and more of like a methodical, like folksy approach to storytelling. Like, because we have like The Secret Life of Pets and like we have Ice Age and we have these movies that are very actively like poop joke, sexual reference, poop joke, and like bright 3D. And like, I feel like there should be other options. And I feel like the BFG was another option that nobody gave a shit about. And I feel like hopefully Peace Dragon will be an option that people will care more about. And I like that we kind of couldn't figure out what time period it was or where it was. Like, I liked that there was kind of like an anonymity to the location, because then to me it made like the emotions of it feel that much more real. I really liked it. I mean, you guys know that because I sat in between you and like sobbed the whole time. But like, I really like I cared about Elliot so much. Like, I wanted to know what would happen to like these two lost creatures that found each other. Like, I loved that. Like, that meant a lot to me. So I really liked it. Like, there are so many kids movies that have like goofy songs and all that stuff, and the original still exists. Like, and that's the thing too about these live action remakes. Like, I don't feel like any of them are being made to replace the originals. Disney is making them to remind you of the original and to make more money with the new one. So
they're trying to get you to go back and buy that when they open the vault and they put these movies back out there.
Right.
You guys are more optimistic than I am.
In what way?
Because I think this is the way to replace the vault. Because now there's no other, after Blu-ray came out, there's no other way. There's no reasons to bring back out the movies again.
No. There's always a way. Didn't they just release another Diamond Edition of something else not too long ago? I mean, there's always another way.
Yes.
There are 20 versions of Star Wars.
There was a Diamond Edition. Yeah. Well, and the other thing, too, is that I feel like, and this is something that I talk to people at work about, because people at work have kids. I don't live that life, thank God. But it's like, people at work talk about how their kids, like, know all the Disney princesses, even though they've never seen a Disney movie. Like, Disney culture is so amazingly pervasive that I don't think, at least for, like, our generation or the next one, that there will be anyone who's like, nah, dog, like, I'm good without the Disney movies. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like it's such a part of, like, corporate capitalist America that I don't think it's ever going to disappear. So, I really liked it. Now,
you got to give Disney credit for what they've been able to do. We talk about, you know, Star Wars and Marvel and these things that they have that are, you know, that automatic money generators. these live action remakes they've been doing are just as profitable and just as just as successful. And you know, I certainly like, oh my God, stop making these a while back, but that's never going to happen. The Jungle Book is one of the biggest hits of the year, and it's going to be probably the top five highest grossing movies of the year. And this has the potential to be. Now, it also has the potential to be a disaster. Now, I mentioned it to you on the way out. Now, I'm like, I'm worried that it ends up being ignored like the BFG was because the stories are similar. You know, and I'm worried that people are – and I certainly don't think Pete's Dragon is more well-known than the BFG is beforehand. I don't think so. I know Julian hadn't heard of the BFG, which I still find crazy. But but I think just as many people knew about the BFG and Roald Dahl than they knew of Pete's Dragon. So I have that concern.
Are you ready? Are you ready for something that I'm about to tell you?
What?
I haven't seen the original Pete's Dragon.
I haven't seen it.
Didn't even.
Yes, I know a lot of people.
That's my point, though, is that
it's not a classic like some of their other movies are.
But that's my point, is that I feel like I'm actually not sure that it's going to make a huge amount of money. Like, I don't feel like people are necessarily talking. I think it might get good word of mouth because it did seem like the screening that we were at, the reaction was very positive. But I don't know if it has that same, like, ground swell. Yeah, oh my God. Get your child out of this children's movie screening. How dare you? Like, get out. Get out.
All my looks of like, what is wrong with you, Rocky? This is the perfect audience for this movie. That kid is having the perfect response to, like, Carl Urban.
I was so mad.
Well, okay, I mentioned this in my review. To me, the reaction from that kid, and I'm pretty sure that kid was the only one who was horrified by Carl Urban in that movie. It just goes to show how much that kid was invested in Alien. And I was, too. When Carl Urban started acting like a dick, I was mad at him. I was really mad at him. I really wanted to see him stop.
Right.
I was like, God damn
the
you,
only
Carl
thing,
Urban.
The right, Carl Urban, you fucking suck. Go back to Rohan. The only thing that I didn't understand, and we briefly talked about this, is like, what were Wes Bentley's motivations? Did Wes Bentley need to be in this movie? Like, I don't understand.
I know you're busy talking to Julian, and that kind of. Oh, poor Wes Bentley. What is he doing here? Because I was like, I think it was right after he was seen washing the dishes. Oh no! It wasn't that. We were talking to Julian Bryce Dallas Howard, who plays a park ranger who discovers Pete and Elliot. She was leaving to go to the park or to the forest, and Wes Bentley's like, "Do you want me to come?" She's like, "No, I'm okay." And that was just like, "Oh, Wes Bentley," and he's like, "Why are you here?" She doesn't even want you around.
How dare you?
He's like Bryce Bay. That's it. He's Bryce Bay. That's it.
Yeah.
That's his job.
Right. Right. Right.
He's been in other movies.
I have an important question. Is the daughter just Wes Bentley's daughter? She's not Bryce Dallas Howard's daughter.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're a combined family.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's what I thought. I liked that.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, good.
I like it. Yeah.
Good.
I was really digging this movie from the beginning, and then all throughout, there's sort of a, I don't know, like a moral sounding board, I guess. You know, kind of steering people in the right way, and kind of reminding adults to, hey, remember what it was like to be a kid. It's a familiar message. I mean, you know, but. But he was the right person to deliver it, I guess. Were you about to say that?
Yeah. I thought he was going to be like older Pete. I was about to be like, oh!
I thought that too!
I didn't go that way. More things.
Oh my God,
like
I was so happy he wasn't
like,
older
Pete. I don't love
Pete.
You no more. There was so much more fire.
Oh my God. No.
I had some hopes. I had some happiness. Dragon didn't talk.
God.
He didn't talk.
He
had camouflage.
Really cool. guttural sounds he was making that were both happy and really sad at times. He was a dog.
Whatever.
He was a dog.
That
like
was adorable.
Like
Julian, you're such a hater.
Like the dragon
yes.
and How to Train the Dragon.
Yes,
and
the
my dragon's
talking.
I like that you
talk.
Want a talking dragon, but a dragon with camouflage is too much. Like, you want the dragon to have human speech, but the fact that he becomes camouflage is a step too far. It's like, whoa. He can blend
into
his
because
surroundings.
They try to make it realistic. They try to make it realistic. And like, nah, he just turns invisible. Like, I don't need this camouflaging where I can kind of seem like the predator. Like, nah, he's just invisible, man. You're making this shit too difficult. It's a magical talking dragon. That's it.
I don't think
Julian,
he did that
the
at all.
Children around us did not think it was difficult. This movie was not for Julian. This movie was not for Julian. He did not approve. What are you giving it, like a C? Do you give it like a C minus, C plus?
I give it like an NA. Not for me.
What? That's
that would
not
be
even
so
what NA
biased.
Would
I can't,
be.
I can't
it would be
objective.
NFM. Oh my God! Get out! Get out! Our friendship's over.
Well,
you know, unlike the internet right now, I'm not going to like trash a movie who's clearly not for me. With hyperbole, I'm just going to be like, I'm good. I'm gonna walk away.
Hold on, Julie. Maybe when they get around to remaking the app, they'll make it more to what you would like it to be.
Yeah, all they need to do is make.
Did we know that?
And it could be well in the world.
Oh my God! Did we know that
talking, singing
Travis?
Cat.
Did you know that David? Did you know that Lowry is also announced to direct Peter Pan?
Really?
This is what IMDb is claiming, but I thought that they were putting Peter Pan on hold because of how bad Pan flopped. Like I thought that was getting because
they messed.
Now that I'm looking back on it, I'm going through some stuff. Yeah, I do see it now. I totally forgot about that. And I don't know why.
Yeah, I totally forgot about
that too. That seems like a poor decision. But, you know, but there are, like, multiple Peter Pan movies that are getting made right now. I mean, there was like one
that there are.
Be, like, pretty dark version where, like, on the site on Punch Drunk Critics, there are
I mean, it makes me think of like Jungle Book. Like there were like a bunch of Jungle Books being made, and you know, it's like that always ends up happening.
Getting,
so
the other one's still getting made.
Yeah.
But it got like a full year.
Yeah.
That's the one with Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
It's like Jungle Book Origins, and I'm like, no one wants that movie.
Right.
No one wants that movie.
Right.
Andy Serkis. Mm,
I want that movie. I'm always down for Andy Serkis. I'll see that movie. I'll be there.
What is the origin? What is
nobody
knows, the origins? I don't understand.
Nobody knows.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Leave
Peter
Pan
alone.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
leave Peter Pan alone.
Do Peter Pan. Oh, I don't know. But I guess it's they're probably just thumbing through the catalog and like, okay, that we got to do that one next. Because they got like the 101 Dalmatians movie, Cruella, Dumbo. You know, they got pretty much everything
right.
on the list right now. I'm struggling to think of one.
Wait, they're making another 101 Dalmatians?
Yeah, it's just about Cruella.
They did that
yeah, it's all with Emma Stone.
It's called Cruella.
It's all with Emma Stone as Cruella DeVille.
I don't care about that. Like, we've already had that. Like, where's Robin Hood at with the fox?
We gotta have had that.
You have had that. Children have not had that.
We need to find
out. I mean,
out.
They remade
we
it with live action
out
already. Like,
why she wants to get those puppies. We had to find out why.
That's what the Glenn Close movie was about.
I don't know.
Too,
I always felt
recent
that was
the remake. Too recent.
No, they got to give it the Maleficent spin. They're probably going to try and make
whatever,
her. They're going to try and make her able to what they did to Maleficent. Or at least they tried to.
That was successful. But
it was successful. Yeah.
Man, there's too many other ones. It's like Great Mouse Detective. Like, again, Aristocats. Lady and the Tramp.
I definitely don't.
So many other bangers.
I definitely don't want to. Don't want to see
all of those. I feel like it's time for me to tap out. I can't do this Aristocats talk anymore. This is my limit. This should be end for me. Okay. My God.
Right. Rocky's getting out of here. Rocky. Thank
yeah,
you.
I'm leaving.
All right, get out of here. I'll talk
no
to you.
No problem. I gotta go. Gotta go. Thanks. I gotta go. Bye. 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 Bye.
Bye. All right, Julian, man. Before you go, Julian, tell everybody about your podcast, your art. Tell everybody about that before you get out of here.
My podcast is called Ignorant Bliss. You can get to it for ignorant-bliss.com. It's also on Blog Talk Radio. It's on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Mixcloud.
It's doing well.
Network podcast.
Really well.
Huh?
It's doing really well lately too. I mean, you've been doing it for a while, but I heard looking at some of your posts from recently, it's been doing really well the last few weeks.
Yeah. I had some episodes that got some pretty decent numbers. Pretty surprising. Mm-hmm. We'll see if that continues. People can follow me on Twitter and watch me complain about critics harping on movies terribly at Julian Lytle. And that's about it right now.
Cool.
Pretty boring.
Yeah, that's not the way I would put it. But thanks, my man. I appreciate you coming on here, even though you hated Peach Dragon. That's perfectly fine. I appreciate your opinion.
I hate it. Mad sad.
It's definitely not the lighthearted movie the first one was, but I do think ultimately it is as hopeful and I guess I would say inspiring as the original was. You know, if its goal is to make you, you know, remember to look into things with open eyes, open and clear eyes, and to let your imagination run wild every now and then I think it's successful in that. Is it a different tone? Then yes, I totally agree with you. But I actually think that works for this particular story. So, but anyway, man, I appreciate you coming on, and I'll definitely have you on again soon. You know, you're one of my go-to dudes, so I got to have you on here. So thanks, man.
All right,
man.
No problem.
Thanks for coming on. All right, man.
Oh man, thanks for having me. Peace.
Oh yeah, no problem, man. Thanks. All right, that was Julian Lytle, another punch drunk critic, just like Rocky Adati. And that's pretty much the end of our show. Yeah, wrapping up. Well, it's not that much early. Damn, time flies by. But anyway, I want to thank Julian Lytle and Rocky Adati for coming on. Hell or High Water and Peach Dragon, two movies you definitely need to check out. Our next show. I think we're going to talk about. What are we going to talk about next show? It's going to be... I had it right here in front of me, and I just lost it. Ben-Hur. And no wonder I forgot about it. The Ben-Hur remake, starring Jack Huston. Oh, yeah. So, stay tuned for that. That's it. And also, thanks everybody who tuned into the Logan Lerman interviews a few days ago. Those did really well. I appreciate it. So, thanks. See you next week.